You know who loves a good anthology series? This guy. And this week's episode of the Red River Horror Podcast, that's episode number 108, Eddie and I will discuss Them, The Scare, the second season of the Them anthology series on Prime Video. Season 2 premieres Thursday, April 25th on Prime Video. Sit back, relax, and let's go down those channels of fear. Welcome back to the Red River Horror Podcast. This is episode number 108. Of course, I am your host, Joe Zakreski, joined by RedRiverHorror.com founder, Eddie Caiazzo. Hi, Ed. How are you today?
Joe, I am doing fair. I am fair. Yes. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well.
That's good.
Doing well. Surviving, getting through. So it's been a little bit, but we are back at it, and we are talking at anthology series. It's really it's only their second season for them.
Yeah.
For on Prime Video. And just before we get into it, I would just want to address, you know how I feel about anthology series is.
I do.
Forum. And I have long been a silent supporter of American Horror Story. Just being like, you know, hey, even when it's bad, there's still some good moments.
Really?
Yeah.
With American Horror, so you've run the gamut with American Horror Story, and you are willing to say that even some of those seasons that were bad, you hung with the show and you've come out on the other side happy?
There's usually something.
Okay.
And this current season that's about to wrap up, which is in part two, has been probably some of the worst television ever produced.
Okay.
Why? I don't know. It's so bad that I don't understand why I didn't pull the plug.
So, so my policy with American Horror Story is, you know, that's one thing I noticed, Joe, because as you know, like, we even signed up to try and scare me as part of their first marketing promotion. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So I was in when they announced American Horror Story. I was very excited about it and the fact that it's going to be an anthologies. I'm not as big of a fan of anthologies as you are, but the marketing worked. I was pumped for AHS. But one thing I did notice is that when it was good, it was good. And when it was bad, it was really, really bad. So that's something I kind of knew early on. So I only got to about Hotel. Mm-hmm. So I think, was Cult after Hotel?
Yeah.
All right. So I got through Cult, is what I'll say. So I got through. I loved Murder House. Coven was fine. It was a little weird. Not Coven. The Asylum. The Freaks one. That was the third season.
Freak Show.
Yeah, Freak Show. That was eh. But I did like Coven. I enjoyed that. So it's like I like Murder House. I like Coven. Hated Hotel. Thought that was terrible. We got to Cult. That was a little weird. I'm like, you know what? I'm out. So one thing I noticed with AHS specifically is that when it was really good, it was good. And when it was bad, it was really, really bad. So.
And you did a good job tying it all together with Apocalypse. I mean, but moving on right now, this current season, which is called Wolver. What's the current one called? Either way. So we got Emma Roberts and Kim Kardashian in the leads. And she is just delicate is what it's
delicate,
called.
Okay.
And I don't know.
So I heard,
I don't really have a big thing about the Kardashians. I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But her screen presence and just delivery is atrocious.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
I mean, you have to expect that. I guess you can always hope.
I do, but like, it's unbearable. Like, I don't know who thought this was a good idea. Emma Roberts can hold her own with anybody, and even with her, there is a really it's the skill set is so drastic that that's where you can see it. Like if you had a lesser actress, going with Kim Kardashian, if they're both not so strong, it'd probably gel better, but you have someone who is a very good actress with someone who's not. Yeah. And it's just very glaring. Like, whoever has to edit that is, your job sucks. Okay.
So that's American Horror Story, sadly. I mean, I did not have high hopes after. Once we got to Hotel, for me, I'm like, I'm just not in. Like, I wasn't. Like, it used to be must-see TV for me. Even the bad stuff. Like, I even hung after Asylum was like, meh. I still had to tune in, and I did. But I could totally see it just dropping off. Apocalypse, you said, was good, though? You liked the Apocalypse season?
Oh, I didn't say it was good. I just said it tied everything together well.
So it strayed from the that does not make it an anthology, but I guess it tied things together throughout everything.
Pretty much tied in the murder house to Coven to Hotel. It's not all of them, but what was the other one? Election had some really good moments in it.
Oh, Cult.
Had a really good twist. And then the 80s slasher themed one was weird.
I did want to watch that one too. I will say that one got enough to me that I'm like, I should probably check that out. I never did, but
check it out. It's definitely not what it appears to be. But Billy Lord is awesome. So
wow. So thankfully, Joe, because AHS crapped the bed for me at least earlier on than it did for you, but you're a big anthology fan, we now have them.
We have them and an actress who is also getting a lot of praise in Dreadit, who you interviewed, which is Deborah, I'm going to butcher it. I was practicing it.
So it was Iron Day.
Iron Day.
But the thing is, Joe, like you, at least you butchered it to me. I actually butchered it to the actress. I was like, just before we start, it's Deborah Iron D. It's like In Day. I'm like, darn. So, imagine being me in that moment.
Yeah. See, in those scenarios, I always make sure that my last name's showing.
Right.
Because if anyone gets offended by me mispronouncing their last name, I just throw it right back.
That's right. That's perfect. That's a great tactic.
What are you going to do?
It's just like, all right, fine. I got your name wrong. All right, you pronounce my name. Go ahead.
Say my name.
That's good.
We say it wrong. It's anglicized for your convenience.
That's good. I might use that. I mean, mine is not as hard to say as yours. Yours is one of the tougher ones. I'd say if we were to go last name difficulty levels, mine would be between intermediate and expert. Yours is definitely expert level. what is it? Beginner, intermediate, expert. Yeah. So yeah. I'm somewhere in between that, but that's a great tactic. I think I'm going to use that moving forward.
You should. You should. It'll make you much more comfortable.
Right.
With dealing with difficult names. But no, so Deborah Iron Day.
Yep.
She's getting a lot of love for the first season of Them, and now she's going to take the lead for season two, Them, The Scare. This is going to take place in 1991.
Yep.
All right. Where Detective Dawn Reese investigates the gruesome murder of a foster home mother in 1990s Los Angeles. So that'd be really cool. And we got Pam Grier on board.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah. And she's awesome as ever. is. But Deborah Iron Day, I guess we'll play the interview and then you can react to it, Joe.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And I actually got to see about half of the first season or half of the second season going in. So it was, I can tell you from what I've seen so far, I'm really creeped out. It's got some moment, like in the first episode, you know what's weird about them, the scare joke so far that I've seen? The jump scares have been effective. That's not easy to do.
It's living up to its name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's a moment at the end of the first episode that actually got me. I was here, you know, we have the child now, so
yeah.
Mom was putting the baby to bed, and I was just like, let me start watching, and I did, and that was a big mistake. So I was sitting in the living room in the dark by myself, and there was a jump scare at the end of episode one that got me pretty good.
Nice.
So nice. Anyway,
that's what we like to hear.
You're on the Reddits. You're on the Reddits there, and they're speaking about Deborah's performance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of high praise giving her, you know, next big horror actress. Like to see her in a, you know, getting more of a movie role.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what she has to say.
All right, here we go.
And I want to make sure I have your name. I don't want to say it wrong. It's Irindi.
Irindi. You were almost there. Irindi.
Almost. Irindi.
It's okay.
Well, thanks so much for joining. Just absolutely loved your character. Keeping it on the series, I guess, that in 1991, Los Angeles, a tumultuous time, is there anything that you had to, I guess, refer back to, any resources, you know, whether it be people who lived there at the time or, you know, people in the police department that you had to, I guess, inform your character before playing?
Yeah, so my family and I actually moved to the Bay Area in the 90s, in the mid 90s, so not the early 90s. So I drew on a lot of my own personal memories of California at that time. And, you know, I talked to my mom a lot about being like, you know, trying to navigate California and being a single mom and kind of being a working three jobs and just be still being like, you know, being a Black woman and like working in spaces where there weren't a lot of her, you know, I really pulled from a lot of kind of like the personal stories that were around me and my own kind of personal memories. So that's what allowed this season to feel like bittersweet nostalgia. Because there's a lot that I remember, you know, which is crazy to say. It's a lot that I remember, and it feels so good to kind of, you know, step into this time period, because it really is bittersweet.
For you, you've obviously seen the final product, which comes out on April 25th. What was the scariest moment on the, like, so from the viewer side of it, when you actually got to see it, what was the scariest thing you recall?
Scariest thing. Because I don't want to spoil.
Sure.
But one of the things, there were a few kind of like stunty things that I had to do that I was kind of like, watching that, you know what I mean? There's also a kind of tragic thing that happens to in the latter part of the season that was terrifying for me to watch. Yeah.
I guess we can't spoil. So then there's one question I was dying to ask. So there's a scene where your son finds you and your face, like it's terrifying. Like he comes downstairs and he sees you on the couch and it's just like, oh my gosh. Now that was like, to me, like a real moment. Now, was that actually, was that all you, or did they do something?
That was all me. Yeah. I'm pretty like, I'm realizing that my mind, also just like little Marvin, my mind is also kind of, you know, out there. So when he asked me to do certain things, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I get it. So literally when they were like, okay, we want you to be on the couch, stay completely still and do this kind of smile that is like super sinister. I was like, say less. I knew exactly. I could see it in my brain and I just did it. So yeah, that was all me. That wasn't any kind of CGI.
Well, Deborah, congratulations. I can't wait to see the rest of the series. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
So that was a fun little interview. I'm a little mad that I wasn't able to make it for the scheduled for press junket, because her energy was so like so good. I mean, I don't think anybody understands how many of those she's been doing. And you almost got her to spoil some of the series. She didn't bite.
I know. And Joe, I'm glad you picked up on that, because that's the thing. You never know who's going to hear the Red River podcast, Red River Horror podcast. We'll see who's tuning in. But I that's one of the things I try, and I actually try it with Joshua as well, just because I can't. You've been a part of these, Joe. You know, we as the broadcaster, you know, the platform or whatever, we can't spoil it. We can't talk about anything and give it away, but it's just like, but maybe we can get the actor too. So that's what I tried. So I'm glad you picked up on that. I wasn't successful though, as you saw.
I mean, and from what you've said so far, is that the title, The Scare, this has been living up to it. Some good jump scares in the teasers that, like, in the screeners been checking out. And how happy she was that one part was all her, no prosthetics, a sinister smile.
Yep.
What great energy coming from Miss I'm going to do it.
It's all right. Iron Day.
Iron Day. Iron Day. I don't know why, but, you know, it's just going to keep happening. And she was totally cool about it. So she's definitely an understander of the last name.
That's what, because again, you know, you've been a part of this. I was just worried. I'm like, oh man, like, I wonder how many in my interview was. So it's just like, she's going to be mad. She's going to be so mad at me. And after seeing, you know, her character, and I just want to say LAPD homicide detective at that time. She plays Dawn Reeve.
She's the lead.
She's the lead. So it's just very, very powerful performance. She did a great job. Scared the hell out of me early on. So I can't wait to see the rest of the series, Joe.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, them is a primarily black cast. This is from a black perspective. It is a black, this is trying to be a staple in that black horror subgenre, you know. But hey, all horror is good horror, you know, and it's a nice shakeup to have different stories from different perspectives. Because we've seen, you know, in our lifetime, you know, we have the standard horror movies. You know, we can go back to the classics with your Hitchcocks and your Vincent Price's, to your John Carpenter's, to your Wes Craven's, so on and so forth. And now we've gotten to see the evolution where we had the Japanese time, and we got to see Japanese perspectives. Korea has been pumping out some great stuff, and it's nice to see the Black American community pumping out their stuff. Jordan Peele really raised the bar.
Yeah, he won an Oscar on his first film, Joe. That's pretty freaking cool. Yeah.
It's nice because little things like that create opportunities for other people, for studios to invest, for other people to have creative stories. And if there's anything we complain about, there's too much rehashing, too many remakes. So anything original, yeah, I am more than open to it. So then The Scare, Deborah's energy, your energy, the way I hear about it. I'm stoked to watch this on April 25th.
Was I a little too excited, Joe?
No, I think she liked that.
Okay, good. I was just like, because it was exciting. You watch something and then you meet the person that plays the character that you've kind of, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. So
based on her body language, so, and we'll post that video on the YouTube page, people can see it.
Yep,
yeah. YouTube. Based on her body language, when you asked her a question, especially about the scene with, like, the sinister smile, she got very excited to to brag about that. So,
yep, it was pretty cool.
It was a really good energy there. So it's made me excited to see it.
Well, so I had one more stop with the cast.
Okay, I'm Eddie Chiazzo from RedRiverHorror.com, and happy to be joined by Joshua J. Williams from the new series, well, season two of the series, Them, The Scare, coming out April 25th. Joshua, welcome.
How you doing, man? How you doing? Nice to meet you.
Doing great. Great to meet you as well. So, you know, watching through the series, your character, Kel Reeve, you played the son of our main character, Dawn. Just some of the situations you found yourself in through this show, if you're allowed to share, what was the scariest that came out on, like, the final product? So the scariest moment for you when you watched it back? You're like, oh my gosh, that came out really creepy. Scariest moment involving your character.
Oh man. if I can't say, well, I don't want to say everything, but let me just say, whenever whoever watches this, whenever they see episode 4 towards the ending, that's when things start getting crazy. You know what I'm saying? So I would say everything that I'm in from episode 4 to 8. Yeah, that was a little horrible.
And I'm sorry, forgive my ignorance here. How old are you?
I'm 22.
So you experienced already then being a 15-year-old in that situation. Anything you could relate to from the story with your character? Any experiences you had as a person that you experienced in the script?
Yeah. I think one thing that I always talked about was, like, with Kel, his parents in a divorcing stage, like they got divorced, and same as mine. When I was about 13 years old, my parents got divorced. So I just used my emotions and feelings that I was feeling from that incident in my personal life, and I used it towards the character, because it wasn't that far off. Like when I shot it when I was 20. The character itself was 15, but I experienced them going through that whole situation when I was about 13 years old. So I still remember the feelings that I had within that moment, from my personal experience. I put that into it, and I put a couple of other things as well, but I mean, that's the most important thing I would say, because it shows on screen how I'm really affected to, like, that's how I really was. I was saddened from that. I missed my father, you know what I'm saying? I stay with my mom, but you know, me and my mom clashed, just like Kel and his mom clashed, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it, a lot of it I have related to, but I'm glad that I had, you know, something like that to relate to, because it made the character stronger.
Yeah, absolutely. Powerful moment with your father in episode 2 or 3, I think it was. But Joshua, thank you so much. They're giving me the hook here. So, but can't wait to see the rest of the series, and congratulations.
For sure. Thank you, man. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you.
Thanks.
And that was your interview with Joshua J. Williams. Really nice how you got him to bring out how he got into the character, how he related to the character. Funny, like the age difference kind of threw him off a little bit. You're like, how old are you? It's like, character's 15. I'm looking forward to it, because I have not seen an episode yet, and I'm April 25th. I will be watching, and that's on Prime Video, which I don't know. I only know one person who is anti Prime Video, refuses to do anything with it, or just Prime in general. So
really?
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? But Prime Video has been pumping out some really good content.
Yes.
You know, outside of the horror space. But what's funny, the funny thing is Rings of Power was like, what, one of the most expensive produced shows of all time. And they kind of missed the mark on that. But hey, what are you going to do? Fallout's been huge. And hopefully them, The Scare, is something that launches this anthology series to the next level.
I'm very excited to see the end. And of course, you heard Joshua say there that of course the best stuff is the stuff that we weren't allowed to see before, which is fine. I totally get it. That's what makes great television, Joe. But yeah, we should watch some of this together. I know with Prime Video, it allows us to in different places, but as we get closer to the end, as we kind of creep towards the end of watching this show, we should maybe do a little Red River Horror finale party when we both get
follow up.
Yeah.
So just based on what you've seen, you're seeing this as like they're really building towards something and already taking advantage of like a lot of good jump scare action and, you know, really developing the storyline, and it's going to come to a head at some point.
Joe, it's crazy that like the acting is just really good.
Yeah.
I know I'm not being biased, because like I spoke to some of the actors, like I'm very impressed, like that this is a horror series, and like I'm really invested in these characters. Like everybody plays it at the right time. Like there's this great episode, this great moment in the episode. It was funny when I was talking to Joshua J. Williams, and he said his parents split up, when he was younger, 13, I think. So his character's 15. In the show, probably his parents split up around the same time. There's this great moment, this great conversation with his dad, like in the bleachers. Like, it kind of takes us away from the horror for a moment. And, you know, because he's a kid. He's a kid in high school. And he's going through all these things. I mean, think about it. Los Angeles, 91. Your mom's a homicide detective during that time. You know, you're going through a lot of things. And he has this great moment with his dad on the show that it's kind of like, after I spoke to him and I saw that, I'm like, huh. Like, this is really impressive. So I wouldn't say it would be about the jump scares. I think one thing you're going to like about it, Joe, is early on, there's a lot of great music.
Yeah.
But yes, the soundtrack to it is unbelievable. It's a little, at times, it's a little, like, so all right, so for instance, Welcome to the Jungle's in there somewhere. So it's like, all right, yes, early 90s, Welcome to the Jungle. But everything else is fantastic. Like the soundtrack to it is, if it's almost as if there's an, like, Little Marvin's an MTV fan, the writer, producer, director of this series.
Yeah,
it's almost as if he was like a huge fan of the times. You know,
that's great though. That's what you want in a period production, having the right music, just not just the stereotypical. It's like, oh well, this was number one at that time, or
right,
picking something that wasn't released for another 3 years, but being like, meh, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, staying on point is a huge thing. As long as you're picking the right songs, I mean, that can really elevate your show.
Yep. So, and one thing we forgot so far.
Yeah.
And just because you didn't get to see the early stuff, holy crap, Luke James, the actor, he plays Edmund. This guy is, he's like, I'm saying, like, just the acting is so good in this show so far. So he takes you from sympathetic, like he's this person trying to make it as an actor. And you see I think it's even in the trailer, you see his audition. And, you know, L.A.'s a killer. Hollywood's a killer. You see his audition and he's playing like a gangsta thug type person. And he just blows it, like, and everyone's kind of laughing at him. And he's sympathetic in that moment. You know, like, he has that moment where he's like the Arthur Fleck type character in Joker. And then all of a sudden, you know, you see him, his reaction to that later on, and he doesn't really take it so well, and he turns into a very scary person. So he's sympathetic, he's terrifying, and then he's also like in a Chuck E. Cheese type role, like as his day job, playing this character for like the kids at this Chuck E. Cheese type place out there. Luke James, unbelievable. Like, Joe, I just can't get over how good the acting, to call this a horror series, the acting's just really, really strong, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm actually really after those interviews, I'm legit looking forward to it. Just how excited Deborah and Joshua were. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. I'm in. And then you're saying that we got some good jump scares and we love a good jump scare. You know, our last episode, we were talking about The First Omen and how the jump scares in that were so good.
They worked, so, yeah.
You know, now we have Them the Scare on April 25th. You got to get in on that.
Exciting times, Joseph. Thank you. And I will, yes, it will be. We have a lot of stuff coming your way. We might even be announcing a live event soon, Joe. There's so much that developed since you know, this episode, a lot of stuff going on at the site, a lot of reviews live. You have Sting that reviews live now. The horror preview, which is chock full of stuff to watch this month,
loaded
as well as Them the Scare. So I just, there is so much coming, Joe, and we might even be able to announce it next week.
Everything that's very exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. Finally, the thing, all the pieces are starting to fit and the ball is starting to roll.
Yeah.
But hey, you know where to follow us on, you know, at Red River Horror on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, redriverhorror.com, all those good things. Eddie, do we got anything else to add?
Just subscribe, you know, give us a review on Spotify, Apple iTunes, or not iTunes, I'm sorry, it's Apple Music now. But that really helps us go a long way. Subscribe to the YouTube channel and the Instagram, because I will be posting those interviews. You actually see the video of the interviews that you heard in today's show.
Absolutely, it's a wonderful thing. And also more abandoned content. If you haven't been checking that out, take a look. So some creepy stuff, some good stuff. And other than that, this has been episode number 108 of the Red River Horror Podcast. Don't forget to check out Them the Scare April 25th on Prime Video. And remember to keep traveling those channels of fear.